Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Chaf. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Eddie Barry Sitt in honor of the birth of his daughter Hannah. May he see a lot of nachat from all his children, especially the newborn. May she be the mother of many healthy children. Be'azat Hashem, be'hekire Elohim tenaten. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Hacham Baruch, Rafael ben Miriam, and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenihem began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is also being studied Refuah Shelema Tinok ben Le'ah. Enna refana lo mitok she'ar chole amo Yisrael. Amen. We are going to begin on Daf Chaf, right on the top line. And the Gemara says, Ba'a mine abaye meraba. We are continuing the six questions that Abaye es Rabba regarding the laws of Paseh Bira'ot. So the Gemara says, Hatser Sheroshan Nichnas Leben HaPasim. You have a courtyard. The entrance of the courtyard opens up to a situation of Paseh Bira'ot, which means right at the entrance you have the well in the ground, and you have the adjustments on the four sides, and that area is right in front of the door of the Hatser. We have a picture of that. That would be picture number 131, where you see the Hatser, right? And there's an opening in the Hatser, and it opens right into that situation of Paseh Bira'ot. So what's the question? So the Gemara wants to know, Chatzer Shirosha Nichnas Leben HaPasim, Mahu Letaltel Mitocha Leben HaPasim. Is it permissible to carry from the Chatzer into the Pasim area, or Miben HaPasim Mitocha, or from the Pasim area into it? What's the basis of the question? The Pasim area already we have established has the status of a Rishut HaYahid. The Chatzer as well has the status of a Rishut HaYahid. So technically the she'ela is, can you go from one Rishut Yahid to another Rishut Yahid? Now normally, to go from one Hatser to another Hatser, you would need an Iruv, Iruv HaSerot, to carry from one Hatser to the other. Here the question is, since there's really not dwellers in the Paseh Bira'ot, so maybe you don't even need any type of Iruv, which is, when did you say you need an Iruv between two Haserot, because you have dwellers in each Haser, so the Hakamim necessitated that you combine the different dwelling areas. However, over here, it's just Olei Regalim that are coming to draw water, but there's really no residency in the Pasim, so maybe Hakamim did not require an Iruv, and since it's open right up into it, therefore it's considered going from A, Reshut HaYachid, to a Reshut HaYachid. So therefore, that was Abaye's question. Comes the Gemara and answers, Amar le mutar. So he told them, it is indeed permissible. Meaning, Rabba said, you're right. Since it's really not considered dwellers, and the usage of this area is temporary, it does not necessitate a special Iruv, and therefore you can carry from the Pasim into the Hased, into the Hased, into the area of the Pasim. So now the Gemara's question is, Shtayim Mai. So Abaye pressed. He said, what about if this area is opened up to two Haserot? For example, if you look in your picture books, that would be number 132, where you see now you have two adjacent Haserot, and both their entrances open up into the area of the Paseh Bira'ot. Now here it becomes a little more tricky, because now both people, residents of the Hatser, have a commonality in the Pasim. So now the question is, just like they need a Iruv to carry from one Hatser to another, it could be now you need a Iruv as well in order to carry, because this becomes a shared area over here, and therefore you're going to need an Eiruv in order to carry in the Pasim area as well. So comes the Gemara and says, on this answer, on this question, Amar le, Rabba answers him, Asur. He said, this case over here is Asur. Because now already you have two areas, two Hatzerot, that are sharing a common area, and therefore it needs an Eruv in order to carry. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Huna, Shtayim asurim va'afilu irbu. Rav Huna comes along and says that not only is it asur to carry in that area of the pasim, but even if iruv was made, it is still going to be forbidden. The question is, why? Why should that be forbidden? So comes the Gemara and says, Gizera shemme yomru Eruv mo'il leben hapasim. I'll explain to this outside, and then we'll read it together in the Rashi. In order to carry in a chatzer, from one chatzer to another, so there has to be a passageway between one chatzer to another chatzer. There has to be an entrance, when there has to be accessibility from one chatzer to another. Once there's accessibility, then it is permissible to carry with an eruv, so long as you make an eruv chaserot. Now the concern over here is, the concern is people are going to see carrying from the chatzer into the pass area. Now, they are going to think that an eruv was made. That's fine. But they're not going to know that you're not relying on the pass area as your passageway between the two chatzerot. Because a pass area, this area of the pasebirot, cannot serve as the common entrance to the chatzerot. Which means you need a separate entrance. As opposed to a mavui, for example. Let's say you have two chatzerot that are open to a mavui. So the mavui can serve as the entrance to both chaserot. But a paseh biraot situation cannot serve as that common entrance. And the people are going to see carrying, they're going to say, this is the only entrance. They're not going to know that there's another entrance somewhere else. And therefore they're going to say, it's permissible to carry within eruv, and you can rely on the paseh biraot as the common entrance between the two chaserot. And that is not allowed. And therefore it is a gezeran, which means even though they have a separate entrance, which is even though the chaserot are accessible from one another, but people are not going to see that entrance. They're going to think you're relying on the paseh biraot. And that does not serve. A mavui would, but paseh biraot not. Now let's read that in Nashi to get it a little clearer. Fourth line in Nashi, va'afilu irbu derech ha-petach shebe-mechitza shebe-nehem, which means they made an iruv between the two chatzerot that are separated by a wall. De'ashta hadaninu. Because now that they made the iruv, it's considered one domain. Ve'lo asran ahadadeh. They're not asur. They don't all say to each other. Asurot netaltel metochan neben apasim. Still, it'll be forbidden to carry from the chatzer into the pasim area. Why? Gezira. Shem yomru iruv mu'il ben apasim. They might think that an iruv works when there's pasim in the front. Leshatef chaserot yachad. In order to combine chaserot together. Sha'aroe otan metaltelin metochan leben apasim. People see them carrying back and forth. Lo yadad yesh petach b'nehem. They're not going to realize that there was another accessible entrance between the two chaserot. They're going to be think that they're relying on the pass as the common entrance. Ve'savar ha'delo aslan adadi betoch ben amasim ben apasim kishar shtei chaserot petuchot lemavui. They're going to think, yeah, it's the regular law, just like when you have two chaserot opened up to a mavui.
So the Mavui is the common area to both places. You can make an Eruv Hasanot. So I'm going to say, same thing applies by two Hasanot and opened up to a Pasim, and therefore you can make an Eruv. However, just like he says, Sha'asu lo tzid le Mavui elam ki nishtatefu. Hachana mehem mishum denatnu Erubin, ben Pasim nishtatef ki shituf sha'ad Mavui. Ve'atu le mishle nami lachnis lusim ben Pasim Hasanot. And therefore they're going to come and carry from the Pasim to the Chatzerot, Kileka Petach Benehem. The problem is, in a case where there's not going to be another entrance, they're going to think it's enough to rely on the Pasim itself to be the common entrance between them, and it's not. And they're going to come and carry in such a case, V'yadeh erubeh ba'achat ha'aserot derech ben ha'pasim, v'ahu v'day lo mehani. That's for sure not good. Why? D'chi tekinu rabbanan shetufem mivuot. When did the rabbis establish with this concept of when you have ha'aserot, where you can join them, b'mavuy satum tikun? That's in a mavuy satum, when you have, let's say, three walls, and the front wall is adjusted, but here, it's wide open. You just have four corner pieces. They were not mekel in such a case to make a shituf amongst the hasanot just based on the pasim. So let's review what Rav Huna was concerned about. He said, technically, if there was an entranceway between the Hatzarot to each other, as there is, by the way, if you look at picture number 133, there is accessibility from one Haser to another inside. Right. However, the people are not going to know that. They're not going to know that you're relying on that Petah. They're going to think you're relying on the commonality area of the Pasim, right? Because you both have accessibility to that. And the Eruv was made, and that's why it's okay. So they're going to come to Matid even in a case where there was no entrance at all. That's Vadaida, she says Asur. Because when did we make the Din of Shetufeh Mivuot? When it's a Mavui. But not in this case over there where it's totally open on all sides. You cannot make a Shetuf amongst the Hatzerot that are opened up into a Hatzer. So Rav Huna's Din is really Asur Mishum Gezerah. So comes the Gemara and says, Rava Amar Erbo Mutar. Rava comes along and says, now, if you made an Eruv, it's Mutar. Obviously, Rava is not concerned about making the Gezerah. So long as there is an entranceway there between the two Hatzerot, we're not concerned that the people might say that, you know, they're relying on the Pasim. So Rava does not make, right, just like a Mavoy does Matir.
But you need two anyway. You need two Hatzerot and Shetufei Mavoy.
No, but you could rely on the Mavui as your common entrance into the Hasidot. Now, She'en Ken, over here, he's telling you, even though you cannot rely just on the Pasim alone, we're not going to make a Gezerah that they're going to think that all you're relying is on the Pasim. So long as you have an entrance between the two, it is okay. Amar le Abaye la Rava. Abaye told Rava, Tanya de Misayalach. We have a Braita to support you. Haser shirosha echad nichnas leben apasim. You have a haser that its opening, its door is opened up in between the pasim. Mutar letaltel metocha leben apasim uben apasim metocha. As we learned, you can carry from the pasim to the haser because it's considered a shoot ha'it or a shoot yachid, and it's not really a permanent area of residency, so you don't even need an eruv. Aval shtayim, but if it's opened up into two hatzerot, asur. Bamid devarim amorim shelo erbu. And that's only said where they did not make an eruv amongst the two. Correct. Aval erbu, but if you made eruv hatzerot, mutarim. It is mutar. So therefore we have a clear braita that's telling you it is mutar if you made an eruv, even though it's opened up to two hatzerot in the pasim area. So therefore the Gemara says, proof to Rava, question on Rav Huna, lema teveti yuftad Rav Huna. How does Rav Huna deal with this Braita? Rav Huna is an Amora, I can't go against the Braita. Amalecha Rav Huna, hatam dehadran ve'irban. The way Rashi explains hadran ve'irban, I read Rashi, shenifretza b'nehem pirtza gedola besofa shegalui lakol shereshut achati. Rashi learns there's an evident breach, meaning there's an evident entrance between the two hasarot where nobody's going to miss it and think that there is no accessibility besides the pasim area. Now, that she brings us a picture that the pirtza is in the back. You see, you have the pasim in the front, you have the opening to the chatzer there, and your pirtza is on the other side. Now, if you look in your picture books, they have it a little differently. Actually, they also have it. 134, they have it in the back as well. If you look in your art scrolls, they have a different configuration. They have just in the front. Yeah, in the front, it's opened. It's wide open in the front, which is right when you look at the opening of the chatzer, the center gate is indented back a little. So right away, there's no wall. So right when you walk in, you see that there's a commonality between the two. So you have different. But the point is that so long as it's obvious that you're not relying on the pasibiraot situation to join the two hasirot, when it's obvious that there is an entrance or passageway between the two hasirot, then there's no reason to make a gezerah. So that's what the Braita was saying. When it's opened up in front of two hasirot, and they made an eruv, it's okay, that's when it's obvious. When did Rav Huna say you make a gezerah? When it is not obvious. And then, like we said, the people are going to think that they're just relying on the pasim b'raot situation like a mavui, which you can't, and therefore they're going to come to carry even in the case where there was no entrance between the two hasarot, and that would be a problem. And now we continue the questions that Abaye asked Rabba. Ba'amine Abaye merava. Yav shumayim b'shabbat. Now let's review. The whole heter of these diyumadim, in the case of pasim b'raot, is they're considered walls so long as there is water in the well on Shabbat. That was their tir. But the question is now, let's say the water dries up on Shabbat. Since going into Shabbat, they were legal walls to make it a reshut yachid, do we say, I don't care, even if it dries up on Shabbat, it's still considered legal walls? Or do we say, no, the whole heter was for water. Now there's no water anymore, so now it does not have a status of a reshut yachid anymore. So the question is, Yav shumayim b'shabbat mahu. Let's read Rashi. Yav shumayim b'shabbat mahu. Letaltel ben ha-pasim. Can you carry in between the pasim? Mi amrina, do we say Shabbat u'il ve'utra hutra? Since it went into Shabbat mutar, it is mutar. O dilma, kevan de'eter pasim eno ela mishumayim. Since the whole eter of the pasim goes to the water. Vare yavshu ve'asur ve. I call pasim b'raot kayin. This is going on all the scenarios of pasim b'raot that we are discussing. Again, a concept, yes, this concept was already discussed earlier in the perek. Amar le, so he told them, klum na'asit mechisa ela b'shvil ma'im. The whole mechisa was made on account of the water. Ma'im en kan, mechisa en kan. Once the water is gone, so the mechitza is gone. Which is, we don't go how it went into Shabbat. Bottom line, what's making the wall a wall? Because it's surrounding the well with the water. No more water, no more wall. And therefore, you can't carry. Ba'er Ravin. So Ravin has a different type of question. Yav shumayim b'shabbat. Let's say it dried up on Shabbat. So you want to tell me already your mechitzot are invalid. Ubau b'shabbat mau. It rained on Shabbat. Now you have new water in the well. Do you say that the mechitzot come back? Which means technically these mechitzot are becoming valid on Shabbat. So you have an issue. Can mechitzot become mechitzot on Shabbat? So the Gemara says, Amar le'Abaye, yavshu b'shabbat, lo tif'ilach. Since you're not asking if it dried on Shabbat, deba'e mine demor. He says, because I already asked that tamor terava upashitli de'asir. He already told me, vaday, if it's totally dried up, that's definitely asur. Like we said, mayim en kan, mechitzot en kan. Ba'u namel lo tif'ilach. You shouldn't ask even your question where the waters came on Shabbat after it dried up. Why? Because Because it comes out that this Me'isa was made valid on Shabbat. And that's not a problem. Mm-hmm. Why? V'tanya, because we have a Braita, kol Me'isa ha'asuya b'Shabbat. Any Me'isa that was made a Me'isa on Shabbat, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, ben b'ones, ben b'rason, under all circumstances, whether it was inadvertently, or b'mezid, purposely, ben b'ones, which means you had no choice. Ben Rasona was done willingly. Sheme mechitza. It is considered a mechitza. So therefore, what do I care? This is a case, certainly it was not even done purposely. This was done automatically. So certainly there is no problem. The mechitzot are back to functioning, and therefore no problem to carry in that area. So comes the Gemara and says, but don't we have a statement on that Braita? Amar Rav Nachman, lo shanu ela lizrok. When did we say that me'itzot that are made on Shabbat are considered reshut yachid lahmir? Meaning, if somebody threw something from the reshut to the beam into that area, we're going to say he's guilty. We're going to say he's hayah, meaning we're going to treat it as a reshut yachid for those that are throwing from the reshut to the beam into it. Aval taltel lo. But to be lenient, meaning to carry within those walls that were made on Shabbat, we're not going to be lenient. So we're back to the question. How could you tell me there is no problem? These walls were made on Shabbat, and to carry within the walls, there was no leniency. The Gemara says, no, ki itmar de Rav Nachman amezid itmar. Yeah, Rav Nachman was only saying, in a case where the walls were put up on Shabbat b'mezid on purpose, then the rabbis made a knas. The rabbis penalized and said, it is going to be considered it is shuti yachid lahmir, meaning for only those that throw into it. However, to carry in the area itself, the rabbis are not going to be lenient. But this case of it was not the mizid. The walls were made automatically once it started to rain. And therefore, it would be permissible to carry even within the pasim itself. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Elazar said, Hazorek leben pase habiraot hayav. Person that throws something within the pasebida into that area is going to be hayav. Well, that should be obvious, because once we're telling you that it's reshut the yachid, so obviously on Shabbat if you throw from the reshut the beam into that area of the pasebida, you're going to be hayav. So the Gemara really asked that question. Peshita, of course, it's pashut. Ilav mechitzai, if it wasn't considered legal walls, which means you think we'd allow the guy on Yom Tov or on Shabbat, I should say, to draw water if there wasn't legal walls? Which means Vaday, this is considered a Reshut Yahid. Aren't we letting the guy draw water for his animals from the Reshut Yahid into that area? So what did he tell me? Of course, if you throw into it, it's going to be considered a reshut yahid. I had a doubt if it's a reshut yahid. Aren't we allowing him to draw water from the well into the pasei bidaot? So the Gemara says, lo tzericha. The case is, de'avid ke'en pasei bidaot b'reshut rabim v'zarak letocha hayav. The case is talking about where you made what the Gemara is calling ke'en pasei bidaot, which means there wasn't a border. Which means you just put the four diyumadin there without anything in the middle. So that's the hadush, which is even though there is no board over there, but bottom line, when you put the four adjustments there, the diyumadin, that area becomes a reshut yachid. So the Gemara says, hana mepshita. That's also obvious, because ilav de be'alma mechitzahi gabe bor echi mishterele litltule, which means obviously it's not the board that's making this reshut yachid, it's the walls, it's the diyumadim. So therefore, obviously min haTorah, if you have four diyumadim even without a well, it makes that area a reshut yachid. That's the only reason why we were lenient when you have a well there, and also to carry from the well into the area. So what are you telling me? You're telling me a hadush. Who's talking? Rabbi Eliezer. You tell me if a guy throws into a place where you have diyumadin, without the water over there. You just have the four posts, you're going to be hayav. So of course you're going to be hayav. Which means it's the adjustments that make the reshut yahay, not the well. Which means if that was not considered a reshut yahay, we wouldn't be lenient in a case where there was a well. So what's your haydush? So Gemara says, Lo tzericha afalgad dekabakae barabim. Ah, the haydush is where these diyumadim are in a spot where the rabbim, the masses, are walking through it. And therefore, you might have thought that when the rabbim walk through the area, how could that be considered a reshut yachid? You might argue and say that the rabbim are able to make the reshut yachid now invalid. Umay kamash malan. The hadush is delo atu rabbim umibatle mechitzta. Is your hadush to tell me that the rabbim do not have the ability to invalidate a mechitza? Which means once you have four diyumadim, I don't care if now it's being trafficked by many people. You mechitza or mechitza? Is that your hadush that the rabbim do not have the ability to break a mechitza? Ha amar Rabbi Elazar hadasimna. Rabbi Elazar taught that already. Which is, if that was his hadush in this statement, Rabbi Elazar said it already somewhere else. Why wouldn't he say Rabbi Elazar? Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imaita derech reshut rabim vasfasaktan. If let's say you have the Yumadim, right? But the reshut rabim, it's right in the middle of the public domain. And now the people are just walking right through the poles. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, yisalekena listadin. Which means, according to them, you have to reroute the rabbin to the sides. Which means you cannot have them walking through your pasim miraot. And if they're walking through your pasim miraot, according to the Yehuda, invalid. Yisalekena. You have to reroute the road so the people walk around. Vachamim omrim eno tzarich. Hachamim say you don't got to reroute anybody. So long as you have the diyumadim, I don't care if the people are walking right through it, it is considered a reshut yahid. Now, on that, Rabbi Elazar reacted and said, Rabbi Hanan and Rabbi Elazar, they both said, Kanu diyacha kohan shel mechitzot. Here you see the power of mechitzot. Which is when they heard the rabbi's opinion, that said, even if the people are walking right through it, it's considered a shuti yahid. So wouldn't it be the Hazar react and say, you see from the opinion of the rabbis, the power that mechitzot have, which means even though the rabbim are walking through it, it doesn't matter. So what do you see from here? Rabbi Elazar clearly holds that rabbim are not mevatel mechitzot. So what was he coming along and telling me? If you take something and you throw it into an area of pasim, you're going to be hayav. And we say, what's the chidush? Oh, the chidush is talking about even though the rabbim is walking through it, it's not mevatel, and that's the chidush. What's the chidush? You told us already once by telling us, look how powerful mechitzot are, by saying, kano diyacha kohan shel mechitzot. We know already what he holds. So the Gemara says, no, you need both statements. If it was just from that reaction when he said kanu diyacha kohan shel mechitzot, hava amina kan velo svirale. Yeah, could be just saying from here you see that the rabbis hold how powerful mechitzot are, but I don't hold like that. Well, he's just saying from the rabbi's opinion. How do you know that the Bilalas subscribes to it? Kamash malan. Kan visvirale. That's why not only did he say it, but he also agrees to it. How do you know that? And the fact that he said if you throw from the Shutrim into that area of the Pasim where the Rabbim are walking in, you're going to be Hayab. So the Gemara then says, Vele maha velo ba'e hach. So just let him make the first statement, and he doesn't have to make the statement of Kan odi'acha kohan shel mechitzot, which means what are both statements for? Just say that when you throw into the area, you're going to be hayab. What do you need both statements for? So comes the Gemara and says, Hada mechlal haverta itmar. Says, you're right. He only made one statement. But from one statement, we're able to imply the other statement, which means, could be he only made the statement, let's say, of throwing it in. Right? And from there, you can imply that what? The power of mechitzot. And even though the people are walking through, so therefore it is considered still legal mechitzot, and the rabbim will not be mevatel. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tananatam, we learned in a Mishnah. This should be familiar to us, because we have come across this Mishnah in our learnings in Masechet Shabbat. Lo yamod adam birshut rabim v'yishte birshut yachid. A person should not stand in the public domain and lean over to drink in the birshut yachid, or for that matter, birshut yachid v'yishte birshut rabim, or standing in the birshut and leaning over into the public domain. Why? What's the concern? Because he might come and, let's say, bring the cup, let's say he's drinking from a cup, he might bring it to where he's standing, and now he's moving from one domain to another domain. However, unless he puts the majority of his body into the area where he's drinking, then already we say it is permissible for him to drink as such. But just to lean over a little and to drink, the concern is he might just come right back, and then he's motzi mirshut rishut. How if the majority of his body is in the area where he's drinking, it is permissible. And the Mishnah concludes with the words, v'chen begat. And the same law applies by a gat. Now, let's review this law of gat. This has nothing to do with carrying, according to Rashi. But there is a similarity between the two cases. Gat is the wine press. Now the halakha says, on wine, once it's fully processed, you must give terumot, ma'asrot, etc. And until you do that, that wine is called tevim. And it is asur from the Torah. Now, min ha-Torah, you only have to give the entitlements after the finishing process. However, so long as the wine is not in the finished process yet, then one is not hayav yet to give the terumot and ma'asrot, and he's even allowed to drink from it achilat arai, which means so long as you're snacking on it, you're not eating it permanent, which means you're not making a sa'uda out of it, so to speak, it'll be permissible. Now the question is, when is the finished process of the wine? Well, that's not until after you take it out of the press and you put it in the bor. You put it in the pit, that's where they would store it. But in the press, it's still unfinished. It's still in the process. So the question is, can you drink wine that is still in the press? Yes, it would be permissible. But only if you're doing it on a arai basis, on a temporary basis. What makes it a temporary basis? The way you drink. Meaning, if you lean over the press, where your body is over the press majority, and you drink over it, so that's already considered arai. However, if you take from the press and you take it out, then already that's considered keva. And therefore, the similarity between the two cases is rosho v'ruvo, which means just like by Shabbat, we're telling you to go into another domain, your body has to be with Rosh Ovidubo in the other domain and drinking. So too the Inyan Tebel, if you want to drink from the wine, Achilat Arai, your body has to be over the Gat, Rosh Ovidubo, and that's considered Achilat Arai. Let's read the top of Rashi. He gives it to us very quickly. Bechen Begat, Mefaresh Beperek Batra, the Inyan Ma'aser. Find the laws of giving ma'aseh, dechol kama shehu begat, so long as it is still in the gat, shotin belo ma'aseh. You can drink even though the ma'aseh was not given, al hagat, but you got to be over the press. Aval leotzi min hagav, once you take it out of the gat, shtiyat keva, that's already considered keva. And one of the mafashim explained, and the logic is, because when you're over the gat, if you drink a little and you're finished with it, you'll pour it back into the gat. However, once you walk away from the gat, you have a leftover, you're throwing it out. So the Gemara says, "V'ala gat afilu mozgo behamim," meaning you can even drink it in a permanent way when you're over the gat. Meaning you can add hot water and dilute it. Davi lekeva lo hashiv lekeva hatam. Again, it's not considered keva over the gat. So that's the words v'chen begat, at least according to Shitat Rashi. Now the Gemara says, Gabe Adam,
referring to Adam. Ha Amar, you said, you taught me in the Mishnah, Deba'e Rosho Verubo. That's clear. The majority of his body has to be in that domain in order for him to drink. Gabe Para, Mi Ba'ina La Rosha Veruba. What about an animal? Which means you have your animal on Shabbat, it is in one domain, and now it is, overextending itself into another domain. Do you have to have the same rule where Rosho Verubo of the animal is in the domain where it's drinking? Now, there's a few cases over here. It's not just one case. So the Gemara says, oh no, oh no. So the Gemara is going to give certain scenarios that are obvious, and then it's going to really pinpoint its question. So the Gemara gives you the obvious first. Kol hecha dekanakit mana. In a case where the owner, let's say, is holding the cup and giving the animal to drink, so then velo nakita, and he's not holding the neck of the animal, lo tebe'elach. That's not a question, because it's very common in that case, since he's not holding the neck of the animal, what's going to happen? As he's giving him to drink, the animal will rear back, and the guy's going to go after the animal and end up taking the water from one domain into another domain. So it's obvious if the guy's holding a cup and giving it to the animal, if he's not holding the animal's head, for sure that's going to be asur. Let's read Rashi. Hecha denakit mana shu shotebo. That's the cup that the animal's drinking from. Velo nakit le savara be'afsar. He's not holding the neck by the leash. Shelo tuchal la'akem rosho bachutz, which means you're not holding it from it, rearing its neck out. Lo tefeilach. No question why. Devaday aishinan shema te'akem et rosha. You're concerned that the animal pull its head back. Ve'torich et hakeli ahareah. And you're going to draw the cup after the animal. You're going to go from one domain to another domain. So that is not the she'ela. Now, in that case, for sure, you need Rosho Verubo of the animal in the domain that it's drinking. Meaning, if it's Rosho Verubo in the domain, then you don't even have to hold its head. You can take a cup and give the animal to drink, because it's Rosho Verubo. The majority is inside. But the question is, hecha denakit mana, where you're holding the cup, venakit la, and you're holding the animal's head. The she'ela is, do you still need Rosho Verubo inside? Or do you say that even though not the majority animals inside the domain where it's, but since you're holding its head, so maybe that's considered enough? Or are we ma'amir and say no? You're holding the cup? Bottom line, I don't care if you're holding his head, you still have to have Rosho Verubo. So the Gemara says, my, what's the deen in that case? Again, we zero in on the question. You're using a cup, you're holding the animal's head, meaning by the rein, so really can't rear back. So the she'ela is, do you need Rosho Verubo still in that case? So comes the Gemara and says, Amale Tanitua. He said, what are you talking? This is a Mishnah. Was our Mishnah? We can solve this. How? Right? We learned in our Mishnah by the case of Pasebiraot. That what? That the minimum amount of area around the Pasebiraot has to be at least the amount where the animal can fit Rosho Verubo inside, which means it seems you need Rosho Verubo inside. Now, what's the case? My love, denakit le, venakit mana. And the assumption at this point is, you're giving the animal to drink with a cup, and you're also holding it by the reins. And still you tell me what? You need Rosho Verubo. So therefore, the Gemara says, I bring you a proof from our Mishnah that when you're giving with a kos and you're holding the animal, you still need it to be Rosho Verubo in the domain where it is drinking. So comes the Gemara and says, lo, who told you? denakit mana velo nakita.
I'll tell you, the case is talking about where you're not holding it. And therefore, since you're not holding it, so therefore you need Rosho Virubo. Because you're holding the cup, you might go out after the animal. So Rosho Virubo, so you have no proof. So the Gemara says, V'chi nakit mana, v'lo nakit la mishareh. Well, you're telling me now that it'll be permissible in such a case. It'll be permissible that so long as the animal is Rosho Virubo inside, and I'm not holding it, I can give it to drink. That's what you want to tell me the Mishnah is telling me? Could that be? Why, what's the question? Comes again, Gemara says, Ve'atanya, we have a braita. What does it say in the braita? Lo yemale adam mayim v'yiten b'shabbat lifnei behemto. A person on Shabbat is not allowed to fill, let's say, a cup of water and give it in front of his animal. Aval mimalehu, he could fill the cup, the shofich, and he could pour it, let's say, in the trough, the shoteh me'eleha, right? And it'll just fall into the trough and he'll drink it alone. Now, what's the case? Let's read Rashi. Lo yemale adam mayim v'yiten lifnei behemto. V'yohazakeli biyado. So that she tells us we're talking about where he's holding the keli be'od shehu shoteh, right? At the time that he's drinking. Ulkaman bebaraita bishmatini. It's later on we're going to see this case. Gabe pase biraot. And the case is talking about, at least this point we think, it's a case of pase biraot. V'alkurhat bedelon nakitla. And the sheet tells us it has to be the case where he's not holding on to the animal. Why? The inakitla, because if he's holding the animal, vafidu achi asur, and you're telling me that still it's asur, lama utzrichuro shaviruba bifnim, which means, what are you telling me that's rosha, the rosho virubo bifnim? So that she wants to prove us the case first. Before we zone in on the question, let's get the case over here. You have a case where you have pasebidaot. The animal is rosho virubo inside. And what? He's giving him with a cup to drink. And that she tells us he is not holding on to him. And what's the deen? The deen is asur. So that's a direct hit against the way you're learning our Mishnah. Because you want to learn our Mishnah that if you're inside Rosho Virubo and you're not holding him, that should be Asur. How can the Mishnah say Mutar? So again, the Gemara, let's set up the question again. The Gemara started off with a She'ela regarding a person that has an animal. And he wants to give his animal to drink with a cup. So the Gemara says, well, if the guy is having a cup and he's holding the afsar, for sure it's not a problem if it's no shovet ubo. For sure you have no problem. The sheila is, let's say, where you have the cup and you're holding the animal and it's not no shovet ubo. It would be lenient even in such a case. So comes the Gemara and says, our Mishnah is the proof. Our Mishnah is talking about Rosho Verubo. You're using a cup, and at this, and the Gemara is having it, you're holding the animal, and you see it's okay. But what? Only because it is Rosho Verubo. There's your answer. So the Gemara said, no, who told you that it's talking about where you're holding the animal? The only case over there why you need Rosho Verubo is because you weren't holding the animal. Oh, so what do you see from here, from our Mishnah? That when you're not holding the animal, if you're Rosho Virubo, it's okay. But we have a braita that says the opposite, that even if it's Rosho Virubo, and you're giving the animal to drink, it is indeed asur. So therefore, how do you answer? So what the Gemara is going to do is going to say, leave the Mishnah. The Mishnah is correct. It is permissible Rosho Virubo when you're giving it to drink, even though you're not holding it, it is permissible. And the case of the braita, different scenario. Nothing to do with Pase Bira'ot, nothing to do with a proof to this case one way or another. Oh, what's the case? So the Gemara says, Hayat Mara Allah. What do you mean? We learned already a statement on this Braita. Amar Abaye, Hacha. You know what the case is talking about here? Be'evus ha'omed birshut harabim gavoa yud tefachim verohav dalet. Let's get the case. You have a trough. The trough is in the Rishut Rabim. It is 10 tefachim deep, 4 tefachim wide. That trough, for practical purposes, has a din of a Rishut Ayachid. Verosho echad nichnas leben hapasim. Now, one side of it is opened to the barn, where the animal is. So you can just stick his head out the window and eat into the trough. The other side of the trough is opened up into Paseh Biraot. If you look at your pictures, you've got a nice picture at 135. Can you have your animal? It's eating from the trough, was considered a shoot, Hayahid. And you see it extends this trough within the Pasim. Okay? And now the discussion is like this. Is the guy allowed, he wants to take water. The guy, the animal's owner, is within the Pasim. He's in the Shuti Yahid. He wants to take from the well. He could do that. Right? And what he wants to do is, he wants to take it, the water, and go around and put it in front of the animal. Right? Now, it is no problem because it's all considered a Rishutai. The Evus itself is considered a Rishutai Yahid. Which is, he wants to walk around. Okay? Right? He wants out of the Pasim Biraot. But his hand is over the Evus. Which is, his hand never left the Rishut Yahid area. So he wants to walk right up to the cow. But he's keeping his hand above the Rishut Yahid. And the Gemara later on in the Masechta tells that it's legal. That's permissible. So the Sheila is, can he do that? Can he take from the well, walk all the way up to the animal? And again, he didn't move anything to the Rishut Rabim. Why? Because he's keeping the bucket over the trough. And the, above the trough is considered a Rishut. Is that legal or not? That was the Sheila and the Braita. And the Braita said it is Asur. You cannot feed the animal like this on Shabbat. Why not? So the Gemara says, Gezerah. Dilma chazele le'avus de mekalkel. The concern is like this. As he walks around to give it to the animal, he might see that the trough is broken. Right? It's not, there's a problem with it. So what is he going to do? Ve'atel le'tikune. And he might start fixing it. But that's not our concern. The concern is, ve'dara le'davla be'hadeh. He's carrying the bucket with him, right? He has the bucket in his hand. What is he going to do? He's going to forget. He's going to put it down. Where is he putting it down? In the Rishut Rabim. So the concern is, an interesting concern here. Gezerah, you might find the trough broken. So you might start, yeah, you might start fixing the trough. In the interim, what are you doing with your bucket? Got to put it somewhere. So you're not going to rest it on the trough. You're fixing the trough. You're going to put it down on the floor. But something's very interesting here. Is this Isur De'oraita? Let's say the guy did this. Would this be something to make a Gezerah on? Really, when the guy made the Akirah, when he lifted the bucket, his intention was what? To go from the Rishut Yahid to the Rishut Yahid. But now the law is, to be Hayav, you have to have an Akirah with the intent to go from Yahid to Rabim. So this case over here, really, it's like something happened in between. So it's really not a Yisur D'oraita. Why would we make such a Gezerah on such a case? And that's actually the next Gemara's question. Gemara says, V'chiyai gavna mi mechayev? We should be hayav in such a case. V'amar Rav Safra, Amar Rav Ame, Amar Rav Yohanan. Hamfaneh haves hafasav. A guy's moving around his goods. Mizavit lezavit. In his house. He's going from one corner to the other corner. Again, all the shoot hayachids. V'nimlach alehen. He lifted it up to put it in one corner. And after he lifted it up, he changed his mind. And he put it into the Rishut Rabim. What's the deen? Patur. Why? Shelo aita akira mishahar ishona lekach. Because when he lifted it up, his intention was to put it where? Into another corner. He changed his mind in the midstream. You're not going to be chayav because your original akira was not for any sur. So the same thing over here. So the Gemara says, you're right. The concern is not that he's going to put it down. The concern is what? After he puts it down, after he fixes the trough, he might put it back. Meaning he'll lift it from the Rishut and Abim and put it back into the Rishut intentionally. And that's what Gemara says. Ela zimnin demetakenle. You were worried that he's going to fix the trough. Ve'adar me'ayile. Then you're going to bring it back in. The concern is you're going to take the bucket from the Rishut Rabim with Kavanah into the Rishut Yahid. So therefore, at this point, we conclude, don't bring me any question from that Braita. That Braita has no bearings. From the Mishnah, all you see is what? That when you're not holding the animal, you need Rosho Verubo. Because you're giving it with a cup, and the concern is what you might go out. However, our she'ela was, when you're holding it, do you still need Rosho Verubo? That already we didn't see. When you're ready, you don't have a proof otherwise. Now, Mishnah, you just see that when it's not holding it, you need Rosho Verubo. But holding it, you have no doubt. Don't bring me a question from the Braita. The Braita was nothing to do with any of this. This had to do with issues of a trough itself that was in Pasei Berot, as we learned the case. The Gemara continues, Ika de Amre. There is another version of the last sugya. Gabe Adam, when it comes to a person, Hakamrinan, we said above, Desagile Berosho Verubo. It's enough so long as he has his head and the majority of his body. The majority of his body over the well where he's drinking, over the area where he's drinking. For example, if he's standing in the Rishut Yachid and he has the water in the Rishut Rabim, so long as his body is majority in the Rishut Rabim where he's drinking, that's okay. So the Gemara wants to know, Gabe Para, by a cow, Mi Sagila Berosha Veroba Olo, is it enough to have the majority of the animal in the domain where it's drinking or not? Now the Gemara analyzes the question and clarifies. Hecha denakit mana venakit la. Where you're holding the glass, the cup, which means the person is holding a cup to give it to the animal. Venakit la, and you're also holding the animal itself. Lo tiv'ilach. This, you don't have to ask. Desagila Berosha Viruba. That will be enough if, let's say, it's Rosha Viruba inside and you have also the fact that you're holding the animal's neck so it can't pull back. So then everybody will agree that Rosha Viruba is enough. Elakit ve'elach. But the question we have here is, denakit mana. Where you're holding the mana, you're holding the cup, velo nakitla. And you're not holding the animal. Mai. What is the deen with that? Now here you see the difference between this girsa, this ika de amni, and the first one. Which means the Gemara above took it for a pashut, that if it's rosha viruba inside, and you're not holding it, it's enough. Which means, and you're giving the animal a cup to drink from, so long as you have rosha viruba, it is okay. Here, the Gemara's question is, when you're not holding the animal's neck, maybe even rosha viruba is not enough. Because since the animal can always pull back its neck, the gizrah might be that you might give the animal to drink water when it pulls its neck out, and therefore you're going to take the water from one neshut to another neshut. So here the Gemara's even being more strict than the first version. Here they're saying, could be when you're not holding the animal's neck, rosha viruba is not enough. So the Gemara says, Amarle, to answer that question, the Gemara says, Tanitua. To answer your question, we learned it in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ubilvad shetehe para rosha viruba mibifnim veshota. Which means we said in our Mishnah that when you had the case of Pasei Biraot, we said so long as the cow has this majority of it within the paseh biraot, rosho veruba inside, so then already it's permissible for it to drink. Now the Gemara analyzes. My lab tenakit mana must be the case is talking about where the owner is holding the cup and giving the animal to drink. Velo nakit la. And he's not holding the animal by the neck. And therefore, what do you see? That Rosha Viruba is enough, even though you're not holding the animal. Gemara says, La, no, I can argue and tell you, De Nakit Mana Venakit La. I can tell you the case of the Mishnah was talking about where you're holding the cup and you're also holding the animal by the neck. And therefore, Rosha Viruba is enough. The Gemara says, V'achi Namim Mistabran. It makes sense to say this. Why? De'i Nakit Mana. Because if you were just holding the cup and you weren't holding the animal, mishare, would it be permissible in such a case? Which means, would it be permissible if you have rosha veruba and you're not holding the animal's neck? Why? Tanya, we have a braita. The braita says, lo yimale adam maim. Your person should not fill a cup with water, the yitin lifnei behimton, given in front of his animal, aval, however, memaleh. You're able to fill the cup of water, v'shofich, and pour it into the trough, v'ishota me'eleah, and he can drink it on its own. So the Gemara is assuming over here that the assumption is it's paseh bida'ot, the animal has rosho v'rubo inside, and it's telling you what? You can't give it to drink, and you're not holding it. And therefore you see over here that when you're not holding it, even rosho v'rubo is no good. So the Gemara says, makes sense, because we have a clear braita that says that that case is no good. Gemara says, no, this braita has nothing to do with the story of Rosho Verubo inside, holding the neck, not holding the neck. This braita is a totally different scenario. Why? We learned already on this braita. We're talking about a trough that standing in the Rishut HaRabim, the trough's dimensions were 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, which makes the trough a Rishut HaYachid. V'rosho nechnas leben ha-pasim. And the head of the trough goes into a situation of pasim. Now, you have a guy that's standing in the pasim. Okay? So the Gemara says, well, he's allowed to take water and pour it into the trough, because he's allowed, he's in the pasim area. The pasim area is the Shut Yachid, so he can draw water from the well, pour it into the trough, and it'll trickle down where the animal is. However, the Gemara says, it's asur for him to walk around to the cow and give the cow to drink. Now, how can he walk around to the cow? It means he's going to have to leave the pasim area into the Shut Rabim. So he said he's keeping his hand with the cup over the trough, and therefore he's never left the Rishut HaRabim, he's always in the Rishut HaYachid, because the cup is always over the trough. And the Gemara says, still, that is forbidden. Why? So the Gemara says, Dezimin dachazi lelevus te mekalkel. Because it's going to, might happen, that he might see that the trough is mekulkal, is broken, or something wrong with it, ve'ateh letekuneh. Right, so he's going to come now and be preoccupied with trying to fix the trough. Now, in the meanwhile, what does he have in his hand? He has the cup. And he's going to have the cup in his hand with him. And he's going to now take it from over the trough, because he needs his hands to be freed, and he's going to place it on the floor. Place it on the floor, it's putting it into the shoot. So that's what the braita was talking about. Don't take the cup of water and walk it to the cow, lest you find something wrong with the trough and place the water down in the shoot of the beam. So the Gemara says, V'chi agav damim mechayev. In such a case, if he would actually put the cup down into the shoot of the hayav, Ve'amar of Safra, we learned the name of Safra, Amar of Yohanan, Hamfaneh hafasav. Mizavit lezavit. If a person, let's say on Shabbat, is in his house and he's moving his goods from one corner to another corner, meaning from the shuti ha'ayit to the shuti ha'ayit, no problem. V'nimlach alehen, after he picked it up with intention to put it in one corner, he changed his mind. V'otzian, and he brought it outside. Patur. In such a case, you're patur, even though you went from the shuti ha'ayit to the shuti rabim. Why? Shelo haita akira mishari shona lekach. Because when you made your original akira, when you picked it up, your intention was not to bring it outside. Your intention was to bring it in the corner. And therefore, it's patur. And therefore, the same thing over here. When you were taking the cup, your intention was to put it in the trough. You changed your mind because now you wanted to fix the trough, so you put it down. That's the only yisud rabbanan. So why would you make a gezerah on something that's yisud only with rabbanan? So the Gemara says, "Zimnin de metaken le." The issue is over here that you're going to fix the trough, right? Vehadar me'ayile, and then you're going to pick up the cup that you placed down in the shut rabim. Vekam me'ayile, the shut rabim, the shut yachid, and you're going to pick it up from the shut rabim to the shut yachid, and that's yisud deoraita. Because there there, I mean, you want to feed the animal. Mm-hmm. So now the cup that you place down, true, while placing it down would only be Isur de Rabbanan, but taking it back in would be Isur de Oraita. So therefore, the Gemara says that is the issue. And therefore, we did not answer our question, which means, according to the Gemara's conclusion over there, you don't see that it's necessarily asur when you just have the cup and you're not holding the animal's neck, that it's going to be asur. If it's rosho, v'ribo, could be, in that case, it could be mutar. So comes the Gemara and says, Tashema, Gamal, you have a camel. Shirosho v'ruvo mibifnim. If let's say the majority of the animal is bifnim, is inside. Let's say it's in the case of Pasim Miraot again. So the majority of it is in the Reshut Yahid area. Ovsin oto mibifnim. You're allowed to be ovesit. We learned the Masechet Shabbat. That means when the Baal Abay takes his fist with food and he sticks it all the way down into the animal's stomach. The reason why they call this ovsin, because it's if you're making a trough in the animal's stomach, meaning you're placing so much food down his stomach. Now Tosafot right away points out that the Gemara on Shabbat did say that Ofsim is Asur on Shabbat. So therefore, he changes it and says, when it says Ofsim, it doesn't mean Mamash Ofsim, but it means Mala'itim. If you remember, we learned Mala'itim means you just put the food in the animal's mouth without going all the way deep. Point being, the Gemara says, Va'evus keman denakit mana, venakit le damya. Which means when you're doing even halata, when you're putting the food in the animal's mouth, you're holding the animal's neck, which you have to hold the animal in order to put the food in its mouth. Now, and it says what also? And you're holding the food. By holding the food, it's considered like holding a cup. So this would be similar to what? To giving an animal to drink while you're holding its neck. But what did the case say? It has to be rosho v'ruba. V'kaba'inan rosha v'ruba. And you're telling me what? That you need to have rosha v'ruba. Which means even if you're holding the animal's neck, you still need to have rosha v'ruba. Which means according to the first version, where we took that for granted. Where we said that if you have, well that was actually the she'ela. We wanted to know if you have, let's say, you're holding the animal's neck. Is Rosha V'ruba effective or not? So here you see from it, from the fact that he's saying the gamal, when you're putting the food in its mouth, and it says you need Rosha V'ruba inside, so it's mashma, it's necessary Rosha V'ruba. Amarav acha baravuna, amarav shesha, chani gamal. No, a camel is different. Since he has a long neck, therefore the concern is even if you're holding it, it can just pull its neck back into the shoot. I mean, you might get drawn and give the cup outside. But regular animals could be to be mutar. Tashema. So the Gemara says, I'll bring you another blaita. Behema. Shirosha v'ruba mibifnim, that the majority of the animal is inside, meaning in the reshut yahid of sin otam mibifnim. You're allowed to be ovesed on Shabbat. Well, Tosfot said mal'itin on Shabbat. Gemara says, what do you mean? Veha evus keman dinakit mana. When you're holding the food, as if you're holding a keli. Venakit la, and you're holding the animal. Vekabayin noshov v'rubo. And you still need rosho v'rubo. And here it says behema, meaning not by a camel, but even by all animals. Gemara says no, my behema named ketani. When it said the word behema in the braita, gamal, it meant the camel. So again, it's only referring to a camel. Gemara says what? Behatanya behema. The Gemara says we have one braita that said behema, behatanya gamal, and we have another braita that says gamal, meaning. When it says gamal, it means gamal. When it says behema, it means any animal. So the Gemara says, midi gabe hadali tanya? What, were these two braitot said together that you're telling me behema cannot mean gamal? She says, if they were said simultaneously together in one grouping of braitot, then you could tell me, alright, gamal is gamal and behema is behema. Could be these braitot were said at separate times. And therefore, one braitot explicitly said the word gamal, the other braitot that said behema was referring to a gamal. So we have no proof by other animals. I can tell you by a regular animal, so long as it's rosho v'rubo inside and you're holding it, it is mutar to feed it. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanya, Namecha, we have a brayta to support this. Be the Ezer Oser Begamal Ho'il Besavaro Aruch. Clearly, the brayta says, the Ezer says it's forbidden dafka by a camel because his neck is long and even if you're holding it, it can rear back. However, a regular animal, this is going to be mutar. Baruch Adonai. لعلام أمين بأمين.